sure each of us enjoy getting gifts. We have different occasions in our life and throughout the year where we might either give a gift or receive a gift from a friend or a loved one. We enjoy opening up a gift maybe at a birthday or an anniversary or a graduation or something along those lines. And we have different holidays and different occasions in which we might give someone a gift. And I was raised in a family that did that, and I certainly enjoy giving and receiving, and it's fun and it can be exciting. But in the midst of all of that, we need to remember the most important gift, and that is the gift of God. In John chapter 4, in the scripture reading that we just had there, the woman who meets Jesus at the well in Sychar is thinking of physical things, physical water, and Jesus tries to get her attention on what is important in life, the spiritual things. And notice in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God. She didn't know at that point the gift of God. Later in the story, she does. As she is taught by Jesus, she comes to know what that is, and she comes to believe in Jesus, but she did not know the gift of God. And there are people today that do not know that. And it is our duty to share that with them from the Word of God. We're so involved in physical gifts that we give and receive. And especially around this time of the year, we're involved in that and we're thinking about that. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that, but what is important is the gift of God. And there's certainly nothing wrong with physical gifts, but more importantly, the gift of God, you see. And of course, Jesus explains what that is later in verse 11, living water, and then in verse 14, eternal life. We're talking about forgiveness of sins and a home in heaven. That's what we're talking about. And we need to understand the importance of that. And do we know that? And do we recognize what that is? People go out looking for the perfect gift. And what they're thinking about is a physical gift. But we need to be thinking about the most important gift of all gifts. And that is eternal life. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. That the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. We need to understand that the most important of all gifts is the gift of God, the gift of salvation, the gift of forgiveness of sins. That indeed is the perfect gift. A lot of times when we are thinking about a friend or a loved one and we're out at the store and we're thinking about, what can I purchase them? What can I get for them? What gift can I give them? What would make them happy? Do we think about salvation? Do we think about eternal life? Do we think about what is most important of all? We're out shopping and we're thinking, well, I'm looking for the perfect gift for this family member. Are we thinking salvation? That may be what they need the most. If you had known the gift of God, Jesus said. He's trying to get this woman onto spiritual things. And again, while it is fine to have times in our life when we're out wrapping presents and we're buying things and we're excited about that, there's a time and place for that. What is more important in life, what we have to keep at the forefront of our mind, is the perfect gift, the gift of God, the gift of salvation. We've got to get our minds off the physical and back onto the spiritual. She was just thinking physical water and physical circumstances. And Jesus said, if you had known the gift of God, you would have asked for that. You would have been talking about that already. Now, later in the conversation, Jesus brings her around to that and she becomes a believer. I want us this morning to think about that perfect gift that we need to give someone else. And that we need to receive, and that is the most important of all things, and that is the gift of God, the gift of salvation. That needs to be at the forefront of our mind. That needs to be the gift that we're interested in before all of these other things that happen in life. We need to make sure that our life is right with God. I think about John chapter 3 and verse 16, and then 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. For God so loved the world that He gave. There's your gift of God. He's giving us a gift. And it's His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus said in John chapter 4, if you had known the gift of God, and then He talks about that water of eternal life. Here it comes up again. He gave us Jesus so that we might have eternal life. And then 1 John 5 and 11, and the witness is this, that God gave unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. When we're out thinking about gifts for others, do we think about spiritual gifts? Do we think about the gift of salvation? Do we think about my spouse needs to be saved from sin? My loved one needs to be saved from sin. My friend or my neighbor needs to be saved from sin. In all of this hustle and bustle of out buying things, we need to be thinking about that which is most important. There's a time and place for that other. And we enjoy that other, and we benefit from that other, and we get excited about that. And there's a time and place for that. But what is more important is receiving that gift and giving that gift of eternal life. In order for us to focus on that most important gift of all gifts, turn with me to Romans chapter 5. I want to read a text of Scripture this morning as the basis of our lesson in looking at this statement, the gift of God. We're going to read Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21. And this is a great passage of Scripture because it focuses on the gift of God. And as we read Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21, you're going to notice a contrast. You're going to notice as we read down through the text, you're going to hear about Adam and what he gave the world. And then you're going to read about Jesus and what he gave the world. As we read down through these verses, I want you to focus on the contrast between these two men. The contrast between Adam and Jesus. What Adam did and the consequences of that, and what Jesus did and the consequences of that. And if you're taking some notes, you might just make a little column on the left-hand side and a little column on the right-hand side. What Jesus did and what Adam did and the consequences of that. And you're going to find that what Jesus did is a free gift. And what Adam did is a very negative thing that brought sin about. But what Jesus did was a very positive thing that brought about eternal life. But I chose this text in Romans 5 because we're going to look at six statements. We're going to read the text and then we're going to come back and notice six statements about the gift of God. Let's read together Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, as through one man, that's Adam now, as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. And so death passed unto all men, for that all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. Let me stop right there. Adam was a figure of him, Jesus, who is to come. Adam prefigured Jesus. Adam did some things, and that was to show ahead of time some things in Jesus. He was a figure of him, Jesus, who is to come. Adam is the antitype, the type, and then Jesus is the antitype. Adam is a prefigure. We're supposed to learn some things in Adam that points forward to Jesus. And so Adam, in his act with Eve in Genesis 3, he eats of that forbidden fruit, he violates God's law, and he introduces sin into the world. And so Paul is saying that Adam is a figure of him who is to come. And the figure is simply this, that a man introduces something that has a consequence. Adam introduces a sin that has a consequence, death. That is a figure of Jesus. Not that Jesus sinned and Jesus introduced death, but the figure is that a man does something with consequences. And so now we come to Jesus. He is going to do something and it's going to introduce to the world some consequences. So let's pick up the reading again in verse 15. But not as the trespass, so also is the free gift. This is the first time of several statements in these verses that we're going to read about the gift. For if by the trespass of the one, Adam, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound unto the many. And not as through one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment came of the one unto condemnation. When Adam sinned, that brought about condemnation and judgment. But the free gift came of the many trespasses unto justification. For if by the trespass of the one, Adam, death reigned through the one, Adam, Much more shall they receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, reign in life through the one, even Jesus Christ. So then, as through the one trespass, the judgment came unto all men to condemnation, even so through the one act of righteousness, that's Jesus Christ, the free gift came unto all men to justification of life. For as through the one man's disobedience, Adam, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, that's Jesus Christ, shall the many be made righteous. And the law came in besides, that the trespass might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did abound more exceedingly, that as sin reigned in death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And of course, Paul will say later in the next chapter, chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's go back through the text now and notice six characteristics of this gift. First of all, it's called a free gift. Notice back in the text, verse 15, but not as the trespass, so also is the free gift. Notice that. What we're talking about here is the gift of salvation, the gift of God, the gift of forgiveness of sins. And number one, it's free. God paid that price. God gave it freely. Notice in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32 that God is willing to give us all things freely. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Notice that Jesus freely is given to us. It's a free gift. And that invitation is open to all. Look at Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. That whosoever will may come to and partake of the water of life freely. It is an invitation that is opened freely to all. And the price is paid by God. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And he that heareth, let him say, come. And he that is athirst, let him come. He that will, let him take of the water of life freely. It's open to all. This is a free gift that is open to all mankind. Now, before we go any farther, stop and think about this for just a moment. Have you ever been given a coupon for something that's free? Have you ever, you know, a free hot chocolate at McDonald's? Or whatever. You get a coupon that you can get something for free. Let me ask you this. Does that mean that nothing was paid anywhere down the line to make that product? Somebody had to make that product, and somebody had to pay for that product. Even if it's a small cup of hot chocolate, somebody's got to pay for it. You're getting it for free, but McDonald's had to pay to have that made. Someone made that, and they had to pay that worker to make that. And someone made the cup, and someone made the hot chocolate. They're willing to pay that price. It's free to you, but there's still a price somewhere out there that's got to be paid. And so this is the free gift of God. But listen, someone's got to pay the price somewhere. And God was willing to do that through the blood of Jesus on the cross. And so he gave his only begotten son on that cross. A price had to be paid. It's free to you and me. But somebody's going to have to pay a price. And that was God. And in the second sense, it is freely offered. That means in the sense of available to all mankind. And so first of all, the gift is free. You and I don't place ourselves on the cross. A price for sin has to be paid. God is willing to pay that in His Son. You don't have to pay that. It's free to you. But as we'll see in just a moment, there are things that we need to do to receive that free gift. But notice, first of all, in verse 15 of Romans chapter 5, that it is called a free gift. And you think about what God and Jesus paid in order to give that to you and to me. And it's freely offered, but God's not going to force you to take it. He's not going to force you to take that gift. You've got to come and obey the gospel. You've got to come and be baptized into Christ, and you have to live faithfully thereafter. It's a free gift, but you've got to accept that and receive that, as we'll see in just a moment. But it's free nonetheless. Look at a second aspect of this gift. It is called a gift by grace. In Romans chapter 15, Paul says, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace. That's our second characteristic. It's the gift by the grace abound unto many. So it's a gift that is coming from the grace of God. Grace simply means thanksgiving, thanks, mercy, kindness. And so by God's grace and mercy and kindness, He gives us this gift. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 and let's see what Paul says there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Paul calls it the gift by His grace. Here he says you've been saved by grace, and it's the gift of God. And so the point is simply this, that we would not be saved without the grace of God. Now Paul says in verse 8, it is saved by grace through faith. And we're going to get to that point in just a moment. We need to possess the gift. We need to accept the gift. We need to take the gift. But I want to focus here on the point that it is the gift by His grace. Romans 5:15. The gift by His grace. It's not something that we're doing to be saved. He is providing the sacrifice. He's providing the gift Himself in Jesus. And He's providing the gospel plan of salvation to receive that gift. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. And so even today, when someone gives us a gift, it's freely given to us, and we don't boast in that we deserve that or that we earned that, but we accept the fact that it was freely given to us. And the same is true in the gift of salvation. Let's look at a third characteristic that Paul mentions in chapter 5. It's called the gift of justification, or the gift that leads to justification. In Romans chapter 5, come on down to the next verse, in verse 16. And not as through the one that sinned, not like what happened with Adam, so is the gift. For the judgment came of the one unto condemnation. When Adam sinned in Genesis 3, they were cast out of the garden. It brought about condemnation. Remember, the overarching contrast is between when Adam did something, it brought about some consequences. In contrast, Jesus did some things and it brought about some consequences. When Adam sinned, it brought about judgment and condemnation. They were cast out of the garden. But the free gift came of many trespasses. Look at it. Unto justification. The free gift, it resulted in justification. And that simply means that we're justified. We're made right in God's sight when we obey the gospel. Turn back with me to chapter 5 and verse 1. Let's look at a few matters now with regard to what does justification mean? That's a big word. But what do we mean by that? What does Paul mean by that? What does it mean that the free gift was unto justification? Well, it means that we're made right. Look at verse 1. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that we have peace with God. You remember when Adam sinned, verse 15 and 16, it led to judgment and condemnation. That is something of a negative nature. But when we're justified, when we're made right, look at it. We're at peace with God. We're in harmony, unity, fellowship. And so we need to be made right. We need to be justified so that we can have peace with God. Now come on down to verse 9. Let's see another result of justification. Much more then, now being justified by His blood, that's the free gift, that's the cross, shall we be saved from the wrath of God through Him. Notice that when we're justified, verse 9, we're saved from the wrath of God. You don't have to face God's wrath in the judgment day. And listen, in the judgment day, we don't want to have to face God's wrath. That is going to be a terrible thing to face. But look at verse 9. If we're justified, we're saved from the wrath of God. Verse 1, we're at peace with God. And so the point is that when we receive this gift, it is unto justification. We can be made right, be at peace, not have to face God's wrath. Now turn with me to chapter 8 and verse 30. It is a gift unto justification. Look at verse 30 of Romans chapter 8. And whom He foreordained, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Notice that when we're justified, one day we will be glorified in heaven. And so justification leads to peace, verse 1. We're saved from God's wrath, verse 9. And then chapter 8, verse 30, we're glorified in heaven. It is a gift unto justification. And we certainly want to be standing in that way when God comes again. Look at a fourth characteristic of the gift of God. It's called the gift of righteousness. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 17, notice that it is the gift of righteousness reigns in life through the one, Jesus Christ. It's called the gift of righteousness. Well, what is that? Well, it's the gift that makes us righteous. It's the gift that leads to being right with God. And that comes when we hear and obey the gospel. Turn back to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. See, it's a gift freely given to all, Jews and Greeks. For therein, that is, in the gospel, is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith. Even as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. In the gospel, we're obeying that, we're hearing that, we're obeying that. We'll talk about that some more in a moment. When we do that, we receive that gift, we are made righteous. And so it's a gift of righteousness. It is a gift that when we receive it and meet the conditions of it and accept it the way God says it's to be accepted, then we are made righteous. And all of that is contained in the gospel. Notice a fifth characteristic, and that is, it is a gift that costs something. Look at verse 18. Look at verse 18. So then, as through one trespass, that's Adam and what he did back in Genesis 3, the judgment came unto all men to condemnation, even so through one act of righteousness, the free gift came unto all men to justification of life. Now I want you to look in your Bible at that phrase, one act of righteousness. What is that? What is that one act of righteousness in verse 18? It's the cross. It's the blood of Jesus on the cross. And so that's the cost. That's the cost. A cost had to be paid. Remember when I said earlier that if you're given a coupon to receive a free hot chocolate at McDonald's, someone had to pay that. You didn't. It's free to you. You just pull up there, give them your coupon, you walk away. But somebody had to pay for that to be made. And that company paid for that. The free gift of God is freely given to you. That price has already been paid. What is that cost? What is that price? It's found in verse 18. It's described as one act of righteousness. That's what Paul and others will call elsewhere the cross of Christ. Have you ever thought about when you got something free? Have you ever drove away thinking about who had to make that and who had to pay for that? You ever thought about that? We usually don't do that. We get our free hot chocolate and we pull away. But have you ever thought about, well, who had to make that somewhere? And the reason I mention that is that when we obey the gospel, we need to constantly be thinking, well, who paid for that? You know when we do that? Every first day of the week when we take the Lord's Supper. We don't just want to get the free gift and drive off. The free gift of salvation and drive off. We want to remember, who paid for that? And that's Jesus Christ on the cross. That one act of righteousness, His blood. And so look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. Each day that we live as a Christian, we need to be reminding ourselves we have been bought with a price. Yeah, you see, someone had to pay for that. And as a Christian, we need to be living in such a way that we are honoring that and that we are not just forgetting that. And so, you have been bought with a price, for you were bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, in your body. We need to be living faithfully because it took something for us to get where we are. To get where we are and having forgiveness of sins, a price had to be paid. You were bought with a price. Therefore, in other words, you need to be thinking about what was paid. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And whether we're stressing the physical body there or the life of the Christian, the point is still the same. A price had to be paid, and it was no small price. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 7. There again. That should be verse 23, excuse me. Chapter 7 and verse 23. You were bought with a price. Become not bondservants of men. Twice in the book of Corinthians, Paul says, you were bought with a price. Well, what was that? We need to remember, it was a gift that had a cost. And it was that one act of righteousness. And we constantly need to live in such a way that we remember that and glorify God through that. What was that cost? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter says here, you need to be living a holy life. And it comes because you remember the price that was paid. Knowing, 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you were redeemed not with corruptible things, with silver or gold handed down from your vain manner of life, but with the precious blood as of a lamb without spot, even the blood of Christ. A cost was paid. It was free to us, but God and Jesus paid that. And so let's remember that as we go throughout our lives. And let's glorify God in our speech and in our thoughts and in our actions, because to get us where we are today, you were bought with a price. I was bought with a price. And we need to live holy and righteously as a result of that. And then the Apostle Paul says that it was a gift to be received. Turn with me back to Romans chapter 5 and verse 7. That didn't show up on the overhead there, but I'm referencing verse 17 now. Turn with me to Romans 5, verse 17. It is a gift to be received. A gift to be received. Now, from this point onward in the lesson, we need to pay close attention, and our religious friends need to pay close attention. And as you're talking with your religious friends and neighbors, you can really help them in this area of their life. The denominational world, the religious world, teaches that the gift of God is free. And they stop right there. They say you don't have to do anything to receive it, because the gift of God is free. Well, we need to keep reading. The text says that it is to be received. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Much more shall they that receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. We have to receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. We have to receive it. You need to help your religious friends and neighbors see the point that when God gives us things freely, listen carefully, it's not unconditional. Just like when McDonald's gives you the free hot chocolate, it's not unconditional. You have to take the coupon to them. You have to walk in and ask for it. That is something that you had to do. But you didn't earn it. It's still free, but you got to get up there and get to the counter. The religious world and the denominational world has been blinded by the lie that started around the 1500s with John Calvin, that you don't do anything to receive salvation. It's already been done for you. No, verse 17 says that you have to receive the abundance of grace and the gift. You have to receive that gift. So it is a gift to be received. Turn with me to Acts 2 and verse 38. We're now, from this point onward in the lesson, going to see the things that we need to do to receive the free gift. It's still free, but we have to do some things to receive that free gift. Just like the coupon for the free product, you have to take that coupon in. You haven't earned it. It's still free, but you have to do what it says in order to get that. Sometimes Subway will give you a coupon where you get a free sub. It's free. You don't have to pay a thing for it. You have to buy another one of an equal value, and you have to buy a large drink. But when you get that free sub, it's still free. But you have to buy that other sandwich. You have to buy that drink. There are some conditions that go along with that. It's nonetheless free when you go through those conditions. It's still free. And so the gift is received, and when it's received, it's still free, but you have to walk through those steps that God gives us to receive that gift. And we begin to see it right here. Look at Acts 2 and verse 38. When Peter is preaching the plan of salvation, men and brethren, what must we do? No, don't do anything. It's a free gift. You don't do anything. Right, is that what Peter said? No, they're asking what they must do, and Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Now look at it, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What? Receive a gift? What is it going to take to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? Repent and be baptized. Now a whole lesson could be made on what is the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the subject of another lesson. I believe in the context it's the gift of salvation. But regardless of that, I just simply want to notice the point, look at it in verse 39, that in order to receive the gift, you have to repent and be baptized. There are things that we must do to receive a free gift. Regardless of what the gift of the Holy Spirit is, you have to do something to receive it. And so, it is a gift to be received, and it's conditioned upon repent, number one, and be baptized. Just like you get the free sub, but you have to buy another sub and a large drink, and you get the free sub. We understand that when it comes to Subway and other types of things. But when it comes to the Bible, men change that and distort that and say things that are not biblical. It is a free gift, but it's conditioned upon repent and be baptized. Now, in order to see that even clearer, turn back with me to the book of Joshua. A great way to illustrate this is to go back to the Old Testament and see where God gave Israel the land of Canaan as a gift. But they had to do something in order to take it. And when they took it, and when they possessed it, and when they went in and did what God told them to do, it was still free, it was still graciously given. The point is simply that we must, in order to receive the free gift, we must do what God wants us to do to receive that. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 6. Here's one illustration. In taking the city of Jericho, Joshua 6 verse 2, and Jehovah said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho, the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Look at that in your Bible. That's a gift. I've given you this whole city and all these people. That's a gift. But read the next verse. You have to compass the city, the men of war, once for 6 days. And on the seventh day, you've got to encompass the city again and blow the trumpets. I'm giving it to you, verse 2. But verse 3, 4, and 5 are the steps that you take to receive it. You see, we can see that, and we can understand that. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 21 and verse 43. This is after all of the land of Canaan has been given by God. Look at Joshua 21, verse 43. So Jehovah gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers. Was that a gift? Absolutely. God gave them the gift of the land of Canaan. But look at the rest of the verse. And they possessed it. Did they have to do anything to take it? To receive it, it was a gift, freely given. Yes, they had to go in and take city by city. And so starting with Jericho and the rest of the book, there's all these different battles that Joshua had to do, and they had to go do different things. And when they wouldn't do different things, like at Ai, Joshua chapter 7, they were defeated, but when they did what God said, they were victorious. He gave them a gift of the land of Canaan, but they had to take it, they had to possess it, based upon what he told them to do. And at the very beginning, in chapter 6, is a great illustration of that. For example, I'm going to give you Jericho, but you have to do these things when you're marching around and blowing the trumpets and so forth. And when you do it, the walls will fall flat. It's a gift. But you have to take it and receive it based upon the conditions that I tell you. And so the same is true when we come to the New Testament. And the gift of salvation in Jesus, it's free. It's a gracious gift. We've already seen that in Romans 5. It's a gracious gift. It's a free gift, Romans 5:15. But it must be possessed and taken based upon what Jesus tells us to do. Turn with me to John chapter 1. Do you know that not everybody takes the gift? Not everybody wants the gift of God. We know of people today that are unbelievers and they don't want to obey and they don't want to come hear the gospel. They don't want to come to a church building. They're all doing other kinds of things today and they're having a good time. There's people that don't want the gift. They don't want to open it. They don't want to take it. God's not going to force us to do that. But when we choose to do that, we meet the conditions. And so in John chapter 1, the gift of Jesus, look at it. But as verse 11, He came unto His own, and they that were of His own received Him not. Not everybody wants the gift. I don't want it. That's their business. That's their choice. They're going to be judged in the judgment day for doing it, but that's their choice. But look at the next verse. But, here's the contrast, as many as received Him, you got to take the gift. You got to take it. Gave He the right to become children of God, even to them that believe on His name. And so we must have faith in Christ and obey Him. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. We've got to take the gift. We've got to receive the gift. And it's based upon the conditions that are laid down by God. When we take the gift, it's still free. We haven't earned it. We haven't earned it. We haven't put ourselves in a position where God owes us. It's still free. But we're just simply taking it based upon what God tells us to do to take it. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's your gift. I will give you rest. But look at verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Jesus wants to give us something. He wants to give us rest, spiritual rest, through forgiveness of sins. But we've got to take His yoke and learn of Him in order to do that. And so, God gives things graciously. We see in the Old Testament and the New alike. But we have to take it. And so a free gift, listen carefully, and this is what we need to help our religious friends and neighbors see, it's still free. Even when the one receiving it must do something in order to take possession of it, it is still free. That's why the people on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37 said, Men and brethren, what must we do? Peter said, Repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You've got to repent and be baptized. That's why Saul in Acts chapter 9 and verse 6 said, Lord, what must I do? That's why the Philippian jailer in Acts 16 and verse 30 said, What must I do to be saved? You see, that salvation is a gift. It's freely given. It's graciously given. But we must do that which God wants us to do in order to take it. Open it. Receive it. We have to follow those instructions that God gives us. And so then, when we look at the New Testament plan of salvation, we understand that we must hear the gospel. It's the gospel of our salvation. We must believe in Jesus and have faith in Him and trust in Him and obey Him. We must confess His name. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. We stand up and say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We repent of our sins. Peter said, You shall receive the gift. Having done nothing? No. Repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift. It's still free. It's still a gift of grace. But you have to do those two things in order to receive it. We must be baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And we must live faithfully. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 2. Why are we here this morning as Christians? Why are we here? Why do we watch our words and we watch our dress and we watch our thoughts throughout the week and we take care of how we live with our marriage and with our family and how do we live properly at work and other places throughout the week? Because we have to live faithfully after we do these things in order to receive salvation. It's not once you're saved, you're always saved. We have to continue in it. We have to stand in the gospel. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 2. Paul's talking about preaching the gospel. And he says, By which, that is, by which gospel, also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached unto you, except you believe it in vain. We've got to hold fast the word. got to hold fast the word. And so we have to live faithfully thereafter. Look at the last part of verse 1. Now I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received. Look at it. Wherein also you stand. You have to stand in it. That means to abide by it on a daily basis. And you have to continue in it in order to be saved. And so it's not just a matter of once we do some things and are baptized, that's it. We have to live faithfully thereafter. And when we do these things, we're just simply receiving the free gift of salvation. Well, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4, and we'll close this morning. The gift of God. I hope that we've been thinking this morning that there are times throughout the year where we may go buy a gift or we might receive a gift. And that's great. And there's a time and place for that, and it can be fun, it can be exciting, but I want us to remember the most important gift of all that we can give someone or receive ourselves, and that is the gift of God, the gift of salvation. And in speaking of that gift, the Hebrew writer says in verse 4 of chapter 6, "For as touching those who were once enlightened," that is, enlightened by the light of truth in God's Word, "and tasted the heavenly gift," that is, the gift of salvation, forgiveness of sins, "and who were made partakers of the Holy Spirit," when we follow the words of the Spirit, we produce the fruit of the Spirit, we become spiritually minded, we are partakers of the Holy Spirit, "and tasted the good Word of God," we heard it, obeyed it, put it into practice in our life, "and the powers of the age to come," that is, the hope of heaven, "and then fell away, it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance." There are people that have lost sight of that heavenly gift. And so this morning, I want us to be thinking about, if we're out looking for the perfect gift, I want to give somebody something. Let us be thinking about that which is most important, the gift of God, the gift of salvation. It's free. It's by His grace. It will allow us to be made right and justified before God. It cost greatly. Oh, the blood of Christ was a high price. But we must receive it, and we must take it. And if you're here this morning and you haven't done that, God, as it were, is handing out in Jesus a free gift to you. The beautiful gift, the beautifully wrapped gift, as it were, of salvation and a home in heaven. And He hands that to you. Why not take that this morning in repentance and confession and baptism? And as a child of God, let's continue to live faithfully so that we don't turn our back on that heavenly gift. There are those who claim to be members of the church and Christians who fall away. They give up. "I'm going to stop reading my Bible, and I'm going to stop attending. I'm going to stop living right. I don't care about that." They've tasted of that heavenly gift, and they've just discarded it. You stop and think about maybe going to the store and spending some time buying a gift. And then you come home and you spend some time wrapping it up. And I hand it to Larry, and he just takes it and just throws it down. How'd you feel about that? As a Christian, when we take that heavenly gift and we just throw it away, we give up. "Well, I don't want to attend anymore. I don't want to live right anymore." You think about what's going on in God's mind. He took Jesus and the blood on the cross and wrapped that as a free gift and gave it to us in the gospel and told us how that we can receive that and obey the gospel and partake of that. And we just take that and we just throw it away. It's kind of what the Hebrew writer says in chapter 10 and verse 29. "We have trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith we were sanctified an unholy thing and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Just take the gift and throw it off. Let us not do that, but let us live faithfully throughout our lives so that we can have that heavenly gift with us when He comes again. If we can encourage you to receive that free gift of salvation this morning, why won't you come as we stand and sing?